We began thinking about Nehemiah many weeks ago, in actual fact, many months ago. Other things have cropped up and have knocked this sermon series off course, but I'm persevering with it. So this morning I want us to go back and just think about this man and his story. So a quick recap. Nehemiah had heard that the walls of Jerusalem were in ruins, and God put it on his heart to rebuild those walls. So Operation Repair the Walls was chapter 3. The important thing that came out from what I was trying to get across from those two sermons before was that for this restoration, no new material was needed. In the debris of the ruined masonry lay all the material required. The material was there. The people were needed to rebuild the walls. And we left Nehemiah weeks ago now, having completed the wall in 52 days. The book of Nehemiah divides itself very nicely into two sort of sections. There's the rebuilding of a wall, but there's also the rebuilding of a people. And so they've built the wall, and they basically, well, now what? Let's just enjoy the wall? Or is there more to be done? You know, the wall's finished. Enter Ezra. Ezra was a support to Nehemiah, Team Ezra and Nehemiah. He was a high priest, and he was given the job of teaching God's law. And his first responsibility was to get the people back on track with God. Wall completed, now let's work on the people. So this morning we're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 8. And Irene is going to come and to read to us from Nehemiah chapter 8. And when I gave her this reading a couple of weeks ago, it's all right, you know, you can come up. I'm just apologizing for the fact that there are a stream of really ridiculous names in it. And she sent me a message back and said, "Do you call yourself a friend?" And then, of course, I was ill. And she didn't have to read it last week. And then I get a message, "Do I have to do it next week?" Yes. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. Ezra reads the law, chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. Thank you. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled with one accord in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him, on his right, stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherahiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbathai, Hodiai, Messiah, Kirhita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, and Palahiah instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Amen.
So if I ask you to read, you all say, "Oh, well, they're difficult words. Thanks, Irene." I did say you could just leave them out, or you could just say wheelbarrow, which is good. Remember this man? Yeah, but years before that Watergate, there was another Watergate, the Watergate in Jerusalem, 444 BC. And it was an amazing occasion, because the people joined together to hear God's word. When the seventh month came, and the Israelites had set in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. Just imagine that scene. They flocked to Watergate. We're talking thousands of people. We're not talking, you know, dribs and drabs. We're talking lots. And they, when I read that again, you just sense the coming together. There was a unity about it. They wanted to be there. They didn't have any excuses for not being there. They'd seen this wall being built, and now they wanted all to come together to read God's word. They came together as one, thinking the same way. But I also sensed there that there must have been some sort of anticipation. You know, when they all came together, what's going to happen? What's it going to be like? What's going to happen? And they told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses. They were excited. And you also sense that maybe Ezra didn't bring it out quick enough. So they're all getting a bit impatient and going, "Come on, hurry up, hurry up." And, you know, and a bit of slow clapping. "Why are we waiting? We want to hear it. We want to be there. We want to hear it." Ezra, the teacher of the law, then finally stood on a high platform built for the occasion. Tyre center stage of the platform, with all those 13 men to his right and to his left. The Levites with all the unpronounceable names were up there. The people joined together to hear God's word. And I just thought, is that what we're like on a Sunday morning? When we come to church, we're here, thousands coming in because they want to hear God's word. But they were hungry for God's word. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. You see, there's attentive and there's attentive. Can I see your attentive look? Yeah, you see, I look out attentive. They wanted to hear. They didn't sort of sit back, "Oh, this is same old, ooh, boring, boring, boring." They were really hungry to hear from God. And the response was this overwhelming sense of reverence to what was being read. So Ezra got up there and started to read, and they sort of sat down, crossed their legs, "Oh, this is boring." No, 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 not at all. They stood up in reverence to all that was happening. And when I say stood up, I'm saying they stood up for a long time. We're talking, apparently, 5 to 6 hours. So I've got a while to go. 5 to 6 hours, because it says he read it aloud from daybreak to noon. They stood up and they listened. And you think that's bad enough, then let me tell you that it lasted for a week. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the law of God. So it wasn't a matter of, oh, we've done that day, we can miss tomorrow. It was day after day. Are you getting a sense here that they were hungry to hear from God? What does that say to us this morning? What does it say to us? If I asked you this question, are you hungry for God's word? Are we hungry for God? Are we individually hungry? Are you sitting there thinking, oh, I wish he'd talked for 5 or 6 hours? Or are you thinking, have I got the roast potatoes on the right setting on the oven? Are we hungry? So I'm not going to go on for 5 or 6 hours because I've only got another 2 cough sweets. But you sense what I'm trying to get across here from Ezra. But are we hungry corporately? There's the individual aspect, but there's also the togetherness of God's body, hungry to hear from God, hungry for God to reign again, to set his rule and reign in this place. So Tim's going to come and lead us, just because I just sense that we come, set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now.